Hey, this is Tyler, one of the hosts of RangerCast. On our show, we talk about Power Rangers and other multi-unit spandex heroes. We've got news, reviews, interviews. We talk about the comics, the games, the toys, and all things more phenomenal. Find us at Apple Podcasts or Spotify, or check us out at RangerCast.net. May the power protect you.
Hey everybody, this is Davis over at the CFG, and I would like to welcome you to another episode of Pop Culture Gems. This is a series where we talk to amazing creators, artists, cosplayers, voice actors, and so much more. If you like the interviews we do with these amazing guests, give us a thumbs up and subscribe to our YouTube channel, the CFG channel, or you can go to either our main website, confreaksandgeeks.com, to not miss an episode, or go check out any podcast services out there. Today, I am speaking to an incredible person who has done decades of martial arts training. They were part of some iconic projects like TMNT 2, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2, Secret of the Ooze, and the start of the iconic video game series Mortal Kombat. He has played characters in that series as Scorpion, Sub-Zero, Reptile, and the most iconic, Johnny Cage. I'd like to welcome Daniel Pacina to the show. How are you doing, sir?
Good, good. How's it going over there?
I'm doing great, man. It's a big honor to talk to you. It's funny. I've met you at conventions a lot, like at Game On Expo and stuff for years. I'm like, you know what? I'll eventually want to just sit down and chat with this guy.
Yeah, we finally get a little time to do it.
Oh yes, big time, big time. All right, well let's get into it. First off, you've been doing martial arts for a long time now. But I've always kind of wondered, like, what got you into like martial arts itself? Like, what was the draw for you for martial arts?
I have three brothers, two older and one younger, and the younger one is Raiden. So. But the two older ones, you know, I came in and, I was born in an era where there was no remote control for a TV yet. So my brothers used to make me go be the remote control. I used to do little chores, you know, if one of them had to throw out the garbage, I would be throwing out the garbage. But so anyway, one day I saw some martial arts on a TV program called Charlie Chan. He's like a detective. And so during this episode, I saw him throw this little short guy, throw this big guy. I was like, oh, wow, cool. And my dad told me, oh, that's judo, you know. And so I wanted to learn martial arts so that way I could defend myself from my brother. Not that they were abusive, but I was like, I could stand up for myself if I learned martial arts. So that began my martial arts training.
Oh, that's awesome. And like, throughout your style though, what kind of martial arts have you learned throughout the years?
I started with judo, Japanese judo, and then a little bit of Shotokan karate and some Japanese jujitsu. And that was 69, started in 1969.
69? Wow.
Yeah. There was no kids class. There was a young adult class that my dad talked the instructor into taking me into because, you know, I was only like 11 years old, something like that. I started training with kids who were, you know, basically teenagers older than me. It was a good experience, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, most definitely. But wow, that's so crazy. Now, I know that in the past, I know that you've said that you, like, when growing up, too, that you were, like, into, like, you know, comics, D&D and stuff like that. Like, I was kind of curious, like, what kind of comics and stuff did you like, or what were you into when you were growing up?
Well, I had my oldest brother had rheumatoid arthritis and was hospitalized for like back in the day for like almost 2 years. So his friends would bring him comics to read in the hospital and books, magazines and things like that. So my brother used to kick back, you know, comics. It would be, you know, anything from Archie to The Incredible Hulk, Fantastic Four. There were so many different comic books that I would just get, and I would really, really loved reading them. And plus, it's a gift from my older brother, so I kind of treasured them. So it was like a huge variety, you know, anything, you know, because they were bringing them just anything to read. Mad Magazine, he would be getting that Mad Magazine back in the day, if people remember that. So it was it was really, really cool.
Oh wow, he's just so big. He had a very nice eclectic random taste of different kinds of bits of everything there growing up. Yeah. Wow, very, very nice. And let me see. Okay, there we go. And itself, I mean, like you started like you got into like Mortal Kombat like back in the, like in the day. Like, what is the story? Like, what got you like to get into that project initially? Like, what made you what was the becoming of the story? Like, what was your story to get in?
So back in the day, way before Mortal Kombat, my brother is an artist. Right now he works for, he just retired, but he worked for Warner Brothers NetherRealm as a graphic artist and lead animator and action concepts. So he used to draw at my kitchen's table when my brother was like beginning in high school, with a friend called, his name was John Tobias. And then John had this vision, during that time, he had this vision of doing like Kung Fu movies. Cause it was back in the day when a lot of Kung Fu movies, Shaw Brother movies. So John wanted to really direct the movie, and he was like, oh man, you guys could do Kung Fu and I could direct it. And that's something like from childhood. Years later, I just got done doing martial arts stunts for Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles 2. And John called me up and he's like, hey, remember back in the day when we used to dream of, you know, doing Kung Fu movies? He's like, I work for a video game company and I want to do a live action video game where the people in it are live, but they actually know martial arts, you know. I back in the day we had Street Fighter and Pit Fighter, you know. So, but the martial arts and Street Fighter, you know, nobody really throws techniques like that. You'd break your leg or, you know, hurt yourself because they're not real. But it's really cool because I was a fan, gave it quarters, and Pit Fighter was live, but those guys didn't know how to fight. So I was like, oh man, we can make something like that would be really, really cool. It'd be like actual martial art techniques. And so I was like, so what do we got to do? And he's like, well, first thing to do is, you know, we'll meet and put some ideas together. And then I have some drawings and we're going to take those and we're going to present them to this company I work for, Midway Games. So, you know, we met up and did some choreography, fight scenes, and then just martial art forms, and took those drawings and he presented them to the company. So, John called me up and he's like, hey, they like the idea. They want to sit down and talk with us. So basically he's like, bring some really good ideas, because, you know, he was like, I can't pay you much. And this project's only 200 arcade cabinets, but I'll let you help create this thing. So collaborate on creating it. And so I was like, okay. So I was like, you know what? We got a meeting with a manager and programmer to pitch this idea. Later on, his name, Ed. Ed Boon. Mm-hmm.
Ed Boon.
Yeah. So we sat down and started pitching this idea. And I was like, you know what? To make this really unique, I think we should change the Japanese ninja into Chinese Lin Kuei. And then John was like, what is that? And so I had, you know, I had the book, this book, Legends of the Vagabonder. I forget what the name of it was, but this book on the Lin Kuei, and I was like, oh, they mix martial arts and mysticism. It'd be really cool to have this in this fighting game, because it could be a fantasy fighting game. And so John was like, oh, he's like, yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that. He's like, you know, lend me the book. I was like, no, I'm not going to lend you the book because nobody lends comic books to their friends. But I did go with him to the store to buy the book, you know, the point at which went out and to buy it. But at the end of that meeting, they decided not to go with our idea. They liked the idea of a fighting game and they said no to the idea. Ed thought it'd be better. You know, he works for the company. So, you know, he's got to watch out for the company. You know, he'd rather make a game that makes way more money. So he was like, oh, we should do a game with Jean-Claude Van Damme. So Ed said no to what later on become known as the Mortal Kombat project. And he wanted to do a game with Van Damme. So, you know, later on that didn't work out. And then John called me up and said, hey, that game didn't work out. They want us to do our 200 arcade cabinet games. So
they chose option B, like in the last minute. They're like, okay, so Van Damme was out. I guess we got this in the back burner. So let's just push. Let's push on with this.
Yeah, because I think in the end, for John, when he presented his vision, I could really see the vision of the game. You know, I was like, man, this is going to be like such a cool game. But I don't think that, you know, Ed and the company thought, you know, had that vision. They didn't really see that. That's why, too, I can understand that because they're going to take a chance on nobody's doing a video game when they have to watch out, you know, they have to be responsible for money and things like that for the company money. So, you know, I could see his position back then. But, you know, John and I were like, okay, we sat in a room for 8 to 10 hours a day for like 5 or 6 days, creating a pathway to the game. You know, the first thing he said when I showed up on set was like, he put we even used John's father's camera to shoot the first Mortal Kombat game. So it wasn't like a company owned camera, but he put the camera like in front of me. He's like, do some cool moves, you know, and that's how the game started, like just creating moves and creating ideas.
I mean, like, the way that you just described how, like, you would think that how Mortal Kombat was more structured on being released, like, you know, that this being announced, because in my opinion, because when I was a kid, when Mortal Kombat first came out, I'm like, wow, I've never seen a fighting game like this before, especially full motion captured individuals, you know, had their own special kinds of moves, all these different kinds of things. But the way you're describing how this was, like, on the back end, they're like, okay, we're going to give you a low budget game. Have fun. Figure out how this is going to work. And then let's see how it works. And that's how it goes. You know, I mean,
you are basically correct, because the shot sheet, John brought in a piece of paper that said high, medium, low. And that's all it said. And it was, you know, I started because I do more Kung Fu. I would like, he's like, strike to the face. So I would do like kung fu moves, you know, striking to the face, as opposed to, you know, how it really turned out was much different than how we started creating it. It was just because of, you know, lack of technology that it, you know, it still turned out pretty cool, but we had a lot of ideas, like what it looks like today, even is a little short of the ideas we have. You know, when we were pitching the game to Ed, we wanted, you know, blood already. We wanted x-rays, you know, during the development. You know, we wanted tag teams. We wanted all this stuff, brutalities, three fatalities, you know, all that stuff. We kind of were just coming up with this stuff, you know, during when we were creating it.
Mm-hmm. Man, itself, I mean, it just seems like, well, technically everything that you listed, it's eventually where it got to, but from like when you initially started, like I don't believe there was, y'all wore suits or anything with motion capture suits, because I did see, like, you know, the old things, like y'all dressed up as your characters and then y'all were just on a blank screen itself. Like, did that process alone, like, was this like, y'all, were y'all learning this on the fly? Was this something that y'all were in the process of creating while y'all were creating the game? Like, how did all that feel doing all of that?
Well, you know what? When we were filming, you know, when we were creating the game, you know, we filmed for 2 days for about 20 hours. 2 days, you know.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so we filmed, and then we took then finally John and I took a look at it. And we're like, when we looked at it, John looked at me, and he's like, we can't use this. He's like, we have some good ideas. We can't use it. And I was just like, oh, why not? And he's like, because when you stand closer to the camera, you're bigger than when you stand away. And I was like, oh, crap, you're right. It's 2D.
Oops, that's okay.
Fatality. So I was like, we have to mark the floor. And so John is like, and I have to mark where I put the camera. So while John marked the floor, I created this little box that you see I think they even use it today, but a little box that would like, I was like, okay, I'm going to do my fighting stance here. And then how far forward can I move forward before the lighting changes, and how far back? So we all kind of worked at it, you know, we kind of marked that out and.
You know, on the fly at that too.
We had overhead light, and then John and I went and got a couple of desk lights to make lighting for this project. So even the first, like, it was brutal. You know what I mean? And then we marked the floor, and we come in the third day, and somebody had removed the marks on the floor. So all of a sudden, we had to start from zero again, and John called Ed up, you know, because at this point, Ed wasn't really around. You know, he was only around to kind of be like, buy us lunch, and you know, he's the manager, so he wasn't, you know, he was letting us kind of come up with, create all these ideas. But we had to call him and say, hey, you got to tell everybody not to move the markings on the floor, because when you move them, then we got to start at the beginning. So that happened a couple times. So even 2 days we learned like that. Two other days were restarting because somebody moved the marks on the floor and we had to remark it. But we were kept on adding more to it. You know, John and I were like creating more stuff. Oh, we have to make sure that, you know, I found a mic stand example that I was like, we got to use this mic stand. Nobody can really touch this mic stand because where I mark it means that everyone comes in will hit the same place as I do. So that way everybody's kind of uniformed as far as striking, but everybody's going to change their strikes. So we started experimenting with like, oh, when somebody else comes in, instead of striking with their fist vertical, we're going to have it a little horizontal. That way each character would have a different look, but generally be the same. So you know, I was basically responsible for kind of coming up with those ideas.
You sound like you had a lot of like, you know, full, you know, like control when it came to like, you know, the ideas and stuff to come into the game itself. Things that you would say parts that was like, Daniel Pacita as the character. We know you got you got the full body motion and everything as the characters, but like, were there things like specific moves, attacks, or, you know, like things that was put into the game that you suggested that was inside of it, or?
Yeah, probably 80 or 90%.
Oh my God. You had that much control in the game? Like, really? Yeah,
the lead was John, and John knew the art and what his vision was, but he wasn't a martial artist. And he was just like, I would do something and then he'd be like, oh, that looks cool, do it again. And then he's like, change that. And I was like, hey, how about if we just drop that and do this? And then we would do that. So meaning like, you know, when I'm jumping, he's like, do a jump kick. You know what I mean? And so he's like, don't jump high and do the kick. And so I'm trying to do this jump kick and things like that. But, you know, if you jump too high, the shading on the top of your head, and you can't use that frame then. He's like, jump low, but put your feet up. And I was like, John, you want me to float? And he laughed. I was like, well, what if I jump? You get the frame of me jumping, because that way, you know, when I was creating this, I wanted to look like the body was doing something, not just I'm going to sit in a chair. Like I would, you know, before you jump, you see that,
Just natural physics, physics of you jumping.
Yeah, you see something in the frame. People are, you know, your perception sees something. So I was like, I'm going to jump and then we'll cut. And then I looked around and I was like, and I'll sit on something and you'll get that frame. And then you get the one where I land. And so John was like, okay, I'll get a chair. And I was like, no, we can't get a chair because it looked like I'm sitting in a chair. And so I looked around and I saw a staircase they used for a different game. I was like, you know what? I could balance myself on this. So it will look like I'm not just sitting. That way the body looks like it's an action. And two, I was like, when we bring other people in, I will be able to position them in different ways. So that way everyone looks a little bit different. So that way, you know, when they're doing their jumps and stuff like that, we can reposition them in a way that is similar to what I'm doing, but not quite similar, where people would know it's a different character. You know, so it was important for us to everybody to have their own personalities. And two, that was up to the actors. So, you know, Johnny Cage is the way he is because that's the way I made him. You know, Scorpion is the way he is because that's the way I made him. Sub-Zero is that way because everybody who came in is that way. Like Liz is Sonya Blade. I created the Kiss of Death. You know, the whole thing is we're kind of one-upping it and kind of, man, it was like really, really, it was craziness. So when we were looking at the film, John was like, the game can't end like this because I'm just standing there. You know what I mean? And then I was like, well, I'm standing there kind of looking like I pass out. And he's like, yeah, that's cool. You can stand there like this, but it's just kind of dead. We got to figure out a way, you know, we got to figure a finishing move. They got to finish. We got to figure a way, some way to finish him. So originally it wasn't a fatality, it was a finishing move. So I was just like, oh, it would be really cool if I jump up in the air and I punch a hole in the guy's face and he turns toward the camera and he has a hole in his face. And so John and I were like, okay, let's film that. So we filmed that and he's like, man, that's a lot of work to do that because there's no Photoshop or no motion, like when you see today, the balls.
That mocaps, was
not, yeah. Yeah, mocaps is not invented, created yet. And, you know, so he's like, think of something else. And then I was like, well, what if he goes like this and he falls to his knees and then I do a brutality. I just brutally beat him and then I punch his head off. And Dan's like, okay, let's film that. And he's like, it'd be cool if each character has three fatalities. No, you know, three finishing moves. Later on, they would become fatalities. And I was like, yeah, it'd be really cool. So this will be the second one. And then he looks at it and he's like, man, he goes, that's a lot of work too. I go, what else do you want to do? And then I was like, oh, it'd really be cool if I could just pop his head right off. So I do an uppercut and pop his head right off. So John's like, that's simple. We can do, let's do that as a third one. And so he's like, if there's enough time, we'll do three. But in the end, if there's not enough time, we'll just do one fatality, you know, but everybody coming in should have three different finishing moves. So then Rich comes in later on and does the Kano heart, eat the heart and hold it.
Yeah.
So, you know, later on down the line, you know, we're coming into problems. Like, you know, with Raiden, you know, his hat wouldn't stay on because, you know, when he's flipping up, his hat would fall off, or when he's falling down, his hat fall off. And I was like, John, he doesn't need to get up. He's a god. He doesn't need to get up like us. He could just teleport up. And then so John was like, oh, that's a really good idea. So that's how we came up with the teleport, because of that one problem. I was just like, no, we should do this. So all of a sudden, you know, Raiden just teleports up because
we had. So the limitations of the technology at the time of, or the kip up that he was trying to do, wasn't working for him. You're like, teleport. I mean, and what's cool is that you even gave it a good backstory to it. It's like he's an immortal. He doesn't need to kip up. It's like, let's get up with the teleport.
John was like, holy cow, let's do that. So that was really about like whatever the best idea was. But an example of how crazy it is here we're doing all these fatalities. And then when Liz comes in, I'm like, hey, we got to get to the kiss of death. And then John is like, she cannot kiss somebody. And I was like, look at him, like, John, he's like, you can kill people. He goes, but sex, you can't have sex in this game or any type of kissing or anything like that. We can't do that. He goes, they'll get really mad at us. And I'm like, really? We can do all these murder people, and but you can't have a girl kiss. And he's like, no, you can't. And then I was just like, well, how about if she kisses her hand and blows it at them, and it looks like a butterfly, and it hits them, and it blows up. And so John was like, we can do that. He's like, that's a good idea. And then Liz turns to me, Liz, who's Sonia, turns to us, and is like, why do I have to kill anybody? Why can't I just be their friend? Why can't I give them a flower or something like that and be their friend? Why do I have to murder people? And so we all laughed, but in number two, that's how a friendship was created. So we had many different things in number one that later on came in, even much later, but yeah.
I don't think, like, it's kind of funny because I don't think we would ever hear, like, this kind of creativity like this ever again in how gaming works nowadays compared to how it was back in the day, because y'all were, man, that's so awesome how y'all, like, how it was all integrated by what y'all were, what you were doing at the time. Oh, my goodness. That is just, it's so cool. I was not expecting you had that much creativity in it. Put your own creative marks on it. That's amazing. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Every character in 1 and 2 has something that I created that got put in to create it.
That is so great. And then, like, itself, though, too, like, I mean, because I know, like, I've known that you have a really good, like, a really big martial arts background and stuff. So you kind of wanted to have that fluidity of, like, you know, like, if you make sense of any kind of movement, make sense of what they were doing, was a really big part. And, like, so, and I heard that, like, certain things, like projectiles, like, I believe it was reptiles energy ball from like you were not a fan of, because it just kind of, it didn't make any sense to you, because it just was like right there, like I kind of want to know, like, what, like, why, like, what, like, what was it that was that you didn't like about, like, them wanting to go that direction or with the energy ball, like the energy ball specifically, like what happened with that?
Well, with the energy ball specifically, up until a certain point, only the actors and with John's feedback, were creating like all the moves and special moves and all that stuff like that. But, you know, later on, John told me that, you know, hey, Ed wants to start creating stuff. And I was kind of like a little sassy a little bit. I was like, does he have any good idea? Because he said no to the first to the first round. So I was like, I was like very personal with it. I was like, wanted it to be really good. You know, so I didn't want it just to be, you know, I was kind of like guarding it too much.
It was your baby.
Yeah. Does he have any good ideas? And, you know, so with the energy ball, you know, with the spit, with reptile spit, I took it from Spider-Man, you know, fighting with the professor in the swamp that turned into a lizard. I forget his name. But he was shoot acid at Spider-Man. But anyway, so I always thought that it should be more like a reptile type thing, not just like an energy ball. I was like, it's an energy ball. You're going to go like this, and the guy's just going to stand there while you do that. And then it's going to float over, and the guy's got to stand there while you do all this stuff. I was like, that's not, I wouldn't be standing still. And two, that's not like when I imagine reptile, I always imagine him as a reptile. You know, that has nothing to do with the personality for being of a
rep. It didn't logically make sense of the character that they were trying to create.
Yeah, you know, think of something that is, you know, based with the character.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I kind of fought it.
Well, that makes sense, though. I mean, it's kind of like you would be like, oh, hey, I got a giant bear, but he's holding a gun. It's like, why would a bear have a gun in the first place? You know, that kind of thing. So.
Yeah. So I just wanted the characters kind of like more do have something to do with, you know, with what they represented.
Mm-hmm. No, that's fair. That's really fair enough. And and I know, like, I mean, and we've all, like, Mortal Kombat is no stranger of, like, you know, it's been violent for a long time and stuff, but like when Mortal Kombat first initially came out, the original one that came out, I mean, it was one of the games that was the initial causes of the ESRB rating systems that happened back in the video games era and stuff. Like, in your own opinion, like, what was your opinion during that time when they were like saying Mortal Kombat was just too violent to play in games itself? I mean, since you were a part of it, did you really feel like it was necessary for them to kind of go to that, or like what was your own personal opinion about that?
Well, for one, when we created Mortal Kombat, we only created it for the arcade game. We never thought it was going to go home. We never thought it was going to do more than 200 cabinets. And that is the reason why they let me create it. You know what I mean? Because if they had the foresight, they would never allowed me, you know, because, you know, the ideas, intellectual property is very questionable about whether they really own it or not, you know, because I'm under contract to just do acting. But they let me, but because it's never been done, they let me be on the ground floor along with John creating the game. It was basically John and I. And then later on, we'd like ask Ed, hey, how do we do this? And Ed would be like, oh, we've got to do this or change that or this, do this. So, you know, with the first game, it was very much, you know, myself, John, and the actors creating it, which could be a little, you know, I understand why they downplay the story and things like that, because yeah, it's be like, holy cow, they didn't really create it the way they're saying. So they though it was a collaboration, but you know, with them saying that, it's just part of the whole social system. You know, like I grew up in a time where my mom or my dad would be home, even though both of them worked. You know, my mom only worked part time, so she had a lot of time to supervise us, you know, back in the day. So, you know, I grew up knowing that, you know, you don't really hit my brother. You know, otherwise, if I get caught hitting my brother, I'd be in a lot of trouble, you know. So it was all, our fights were always not that extreme. So, you know, I creating the game, we were really violent. So it was just, and everything that was, we took from other projects. You know, Johnny Cage does the first projectile because of Big Trouble in Little China, because of Egg Chen, the wizard. He puts in his nine demon bag and he throws it. You know, so that's where I got that. And you know, Raiden got a lot of stuff from Big Trouble in Little China because he loved that movie. You know, Rich got Heart Pull from Indiana Jones because he loved that movie. You know, so everybody had things, you know, in there that we did borrow from things that were already out there. So saying that it was too violent, it was like, no, because these are really, sure, they're original. We took the concepts and changed them for the game, but things like that stuff were already out there.
Yeah, I mean, like, well, I've always kind of thought that, I mean, the violence that was in that game wasn't like one-to-one real life, in my opinion. So, like, I kind of, like, it didn't make any sense on the push of like how they were pushing it. Cause they're like saying, oh, we can't we can't in our minds have kids play this. And then it's going to warp their fragile little minds to be thinking, oh wow, you could actually freeze a person and then rip off their head with their hands, you know, and stuff. But like, and then this is me, but this is also when I was like 10 or 11 when it came out, but I just never understood the logic of like, why were they pushing so hard on this? And but yeah, I would totally agree with you. I was just like, oh, okay. I mean, obviously it's not meant for kids. I mean, you'd be crazy if you give it to like a 5 or 6 year old to play it, but it wasn't meant for kids. It was supposed to be, like you were saying, arcade only, and let alone, yeah. You know, yeah. So
nah. Yeah. So, you know, I think politicians, you know, want to blame. Nowadays, especially nowadays, they want to blame something. They don't want to figure it out. They're not smart enough to figure out, you know, a solution. They want to blame something else and then just keep the blame on that.
That's a good point. That could be a whole podcast in itself. But overall, though, like, I mean, this year will mark, I believe, the 30th anniversary of the game fully that's been released now. And I mean, the transition of, like, you know, from where y'all started to where they're at now, like, I mean, how do you feel like the direction of the series is going to now? Because it seems like they kind of veered away a lot from, like, you know, the martial arts side of things to kind of more like story driven, like make believe, like stuff. Like, what's your opinion on where they're at with the franchise now?
You know what? Where they are now, you know, they they're in charge, so they're going to create it how they are. And I can understand that, like, you know, you have a lot of new people coming in. They want to put their ideas into this project, you know, how to, you know, add to the to it. My only complaint is Mortal Kombat is Mortal Kombat. You know, you get people coming in, oh, we want to reboot it, or we want to redo it, or we want to, you know, they want to do it that because they have a different vision, you know, of it, you know, but it sometimes it's cool, but sometimes it messes up the story.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. No, they should have just kept John on because he was the guy who originally, you know, came up with the story. You know, though we all collaborated on it, but he was the main guy who put the story together, and he was in, you know, for number one, he was in charge. Number two, he was split in charge, but in, you know, in number three, he was all of a sudden not, you know, it was a cash cow. He wasn't in charge of it anymore. He was just kind of like just a figurehead, and, you know, the people upstairs started to reshape it.
I mean, yeah, but that wouldn't that kind of, I mean, not trying to put any words in your mouth, but wouldn't that kind of like upset, kind of be a little upsetting? Because it feels like, I mean, John, I believe John Tobias did like the original art, right? Did the original art. He had kind of like a somewhat similar vision. You like he relied on you, let alone with a lot of different kinds of, you know, like as the martial artist, like how the move sets and everything were going to go. And then when it becomes super mega popular, when one became really popular, I don't, it's hard for me to believe that they only did 200 cabinets on the first one. Like, where did they go? Where did it expand to? Or what was the pre-sale at? I'm assuming. I'm sorry? 10,000. So from 200 to 10,000. So you know they had something special with it. Then two came out, and it's probably even more special to where they came out to. And then now they're like, okay, John, like, give the reins back to Midway on the rights or whatever. I mean, that seems kind of that would seem kind of hurtful in my opinion to me. Like, you know,
well too, John is an easygoing, like he's got a like a milder personality. He's like really easygoing, you know, personality. So a bigger personality can kind of take over. You know, take over the project and have another vision. You know what I mean? All of a sudden, it's going in a little bit different direction. And two, it's the company owns it. You know, the rights to it, so they can really, really say what's going on. Hey, it's getting bigger, so you know they want, you know, input into it and things like that. So, you know, for me too, it's, you know, he doesn't. You know, Tobias and the actors don't give him really enough credit. You always hear about, you know, the project lead gets all the credit. And I can understand that. The boss always gets the credit. You know, you come up with idea. No, that's his idea. So that's the way the business world works. And that kind of happens. You know,
well, I think, yeah. I mean, I will say though, like, I mean, like, cause you're right. It'll be to sleep under the rug. I mean, not saying that there's no credit to be given to Ed Boon. But I mean, I know for a fact with people like you, with Tobias and stuff, like I know who's should really give some real good credit for this to even exist in the minds of everybody, because like y'all created a genre. I mean, y'all created a style that was like to a point was even for its time was duplicated. Because everyone was like, oh, we got to be like Mortal Kombat. And we see all the tons of like Street Fighter, the movie, the fighting game, and all these different kinds of, you know, ripoffs. But it wasn't like Mortal Kombat, you know? So like y'all made something out of nothing. So, I mean, that's where you got to commend the credit to, in my opinion.
Yeah. And not that, you know, not that Ed didn't do anything. He did program the game. You know what I mean? So a lot of. You know, and he was the manager. He bought us a lot of meals. You know what I mean? He would call us. We would be working on the game, and he would call us up, and he's like, "Hi, hey, you guys are doing a good job. I'm going to buy you lunch." And I'm like, we look around. I was like, he hasn't come in here. How does he know we're doing any job? You know, that happened quite a bit. But he at that time, it was really good of him to do that. You know, especially, you know, when when they started seeing what was going on, we finally got him in the room and he was like, whoa, you got, and then he'd be like, how'd you do this? How would we do that? And he'd be like, wow, you guys are really working on this game, you know? And then he was really impressed of what it actually, because you could hear about it. Words are sometimes, you see things happening, you're like, whoa, that was really cool. To him and the company not being there for the creation, the main creation, I think that's why they could kind of downplay what we did, because he doesn't know, I was landing on concrete for a while. We didn't have a pad. So I'm doing concrete and I'm landing on concrete and I'm, I'm doing like, John is like, we got to sweep the leg. And so we did literally 30 or 40 different ways to sweep until I came up with that low sweep like that to do it. So it was like, not like instantly, oh, we just came up with this idea. There was a process where one thing would take hours to do and finally be like, that's the way we're going to do it. The way we fall was like a whole day before I was just like, we shouldn't fall. We should flip back. Because we were trying to look at it, when you get hit and you fall on the side, I was like, that looks kind of dumb, falling over on the side. Or spin around a couple of times and fall. We were doing all that for like a whole day before I was finally like, oh, you know what would be good? And then he's like, what? He goes, and then we can use, different versions of this. So that way it's not, depending on, because we wanted to have like power moves. Like not everyone, when you get punched would one would knock you back, one would double you over, one would you would just stand still and you get hit back like this. And then I was like, with the power blow, you flip back. So I flipped back onto my back and he was like, whoa, that is really cool. Let's use that. We could use that. We should use that. And I was like, yeah, well, let's do it. So, they, not being there, the company, John is the company, but without anybody else with the company, they don't really know how much we created because of that. With that, because they weren't there.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool. That's cool though. I mean, that's an awesome thing. Do you still talk to, the people still to this day, Sonia, obviously your brother Carlos, and did stuff like, are y'all still kind of like a close-knit group?
First of all, the group that was in there, John was like, hey, who do you know that will work for cheap? Because I can't pay you a lot, but they can help create like this game. Who do you know? And then I was like, oh, we get Hosung, we get the guy who played Kung Lao, Tony Marquez, we could get Liz, I could get a bunch of people to do this just because it would be, geeks and just to create it, mm-hmm. I just talked to Hosung over the weekend. I talked to Liz, Sonia on Thursday. I usually talk to Rich Kano a lot, guy who plays Kung Lao, Anthony Marquez, I talk to him a lot, like at least three or four times a week, those two guys, my brother. Now that he retired from NetherRealm, he comes to the school and works out more. He's got free time, so him and my nephew come in and we train martial arts, and he helps me teach. So the people from 1 and 2, I see not as much as back in the day, but I see and keep in contact with them regularly. Mm-hmm.
That's so awesome. I mean, it's just awesome. You literally made a piece of gaming history, I would say. I mean, I'm not just you, but you, Tobias, the whole crew of all that. And that's very awesome. And just wanting to know, before I wrap up though, are there any like conventions that you're planning on going to where, folks can see, meet you, say hello?
Yeah, this year. I'm going to Pennsylvania on the 28th of this month of June, but more importantly, October, the anniversary date, October 8th or 9th, mm-hmm. or something like that. That weekend, we will be all in Kansas, Wichita, Kansas for a convention. So you'll come there and see almost the whole cast from 1 and 2.
Oh, I'm looking forward to it. What's the name of that? Do you remember the name of the convention?
It's called Level Up.
Oh, Level Up. Oh, okay. I didn't know they had one in Kansas. That's cool. Okay.
It'll be in Kansas, and you know, if they go to, you know, Instagram Master D Piscina or Facebook Master Piscina, all that stuff will be posted on there, you know, of regular conventions that I attend and also that big convention for the anniversary.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, Daniel, thank you so much for stopping by. I probably could listen to your Mortal Kombat stories all day. I would definitely be on top of it. But guys, thank you. Thank you for stopping by. Really appreciate it. It was an honor.
Yeah. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
All right, guys. And also, if you love these kind of interviews that we do, like with awesome dudes, it's like Daniel Piscina, by all means, just give us a like, a follow, what have you, on any of our podcast services on the CFG Gamecast, Pop Culture Gems, and then go to our main website, confreaksandgeeks.com. So once again, this is Davis signing off. Y'all, take it easy.